Welcome back to the Max Moo Podcast. This is our second podcast this week. We're going to forecast the fabulous shows we're excited about this February. But we would really love to hear from you. What are you looking forward to this February? You can find us on Facebook at Max Moo NY. That's MAXAMOONY. Tell us there what you're looking forward to seeing this month. Especially let us know if there's a show you're looking forward to that we didn't mention. So let's start with introductions. Nicole.
Hi, this is Nicole. I write about theater for Mildly Bitter's Musings and The Craptacular.
Hi, this is David Levy. I also write for The Craptacular, now for TalkinBroadway.com.
And this is Lindsay Behrens. I'm the founder of Max Moo, a website that makes recommendations beyond Broadway. It's February 2nd, Groundhog Day. We have a whole new month of theater ahead. Shall we talk about what we're looking forward to?
Let's.
Yeah. Nicole?
Okay, I am jumping out of my skin because I'm really excited about a production coming from the England. the Young Vic production of A Doll's House is coming to BAM this month. And this is a production that actually Digital Theater had recorded, so it's available online for those who can't make it to BAM. But it was a really well-received production. It transferred to the West End. It stars this woman, Hattie Morahan. It's an adaptation by Simon Stevens, who's written an enormous amount of plays, and very few of them seem to have come to America. But he adapted Curious Incident of the Dog at Nighttime. I always forget the full title of that, which will be coming to Broadway, I think, next season. He's written Harper Regan and Bluebird, which are both at the Atlantic Theater Company. And it's directed by Carrie Cracknell, who is a sort of young, up-and-coming director in London who right now is directing a new Nick Payne play called Blurred Lines, which is about sort of misogyny and the Blurred Lines song and stuff.
Oh, it's actually about that song.
Yeah, it's totally about that song at the Shed right now in London. So I'm really excited about it because it's a production that has just been really well received. I'm curious to see Simon Stevens' adaptation of Ibsen. And it's just, you know, it's this interesting sort of female-led team interpreting this, you know, well-known play about sort of a woman and her, you know, the restrictive society in which she lives in.
Cool. David?
I am so excited because my theatrical year begins this week with Encores coming back. Encores is in its 21st season. It is City Center's concert series of great American musicals in concert. And this season is kicking off with one of my favorite shows, Little Me, by Cy Coleman, Carolyn Lee, and Neil Simon. It was Neil Simon's first musical. It was originally choreographed by Bob Fosse, directed and choreographed by Bob Fosse, co-directed by Cy Furrer. And it was written around the talents of Sid Caesar, who is, you know, like the premier television comedian of the 50s, and Christian Borle, who we know from Peter and the Starcatcher and Legally Blonde and Smash and The Sound of Music Live, is stepping into the Sid Caesar role, which is actually six roles. He plays six different suitors in the life of the heroine. And it's hilarious. It's one of the funniest musicals of the era. And I think Christian Borle is going to be hilarious. The leading lady, which is actually played by two parts. Part of the joke of Little Me is that it's the autobiography of this Hollywood star, Belle Portrine. And she keeps getting upstaged by all of her suitors. So the suitors are played by one star who keeps playing it. And the role of Belle is actually played by two different actresses. So it's going to be Rachel York, who has just got back from touring with Anything Goes and who is just amazing when Encores did Gentlemen Prefer Blondes 2 years ago. And Judy Kaye, who won the Tony for Phantom of the Opera a million years ago and also for Nice Work If You Can Get It. It's just going to be like pure awesomeness, fun, joy, laughter. I hope I will see you all there. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
This is going to be a very tough sell following that. Because the play I want to talk about is called Gideon's Knot, and it is terribly sad. But it's by this playwright, Jonna Adams, who is on my list of people that, you know, whenever she has a play up, I will go see it. And this is actually the first play of hers that I saw 2 years ago at the Contemporary American Theater Festival, which is in Shepherdstown, West Virginia in the summer. And is a very good time because it's like you just go and see tons of shows in this gorgeous little town. But most of the people there are aged, I would say, probably between like 90 and 100. So it's not a good place to find a date or anything like that.
Unless you're into that. Yes. We don't judge here at Maximu.
No, that's right. Okay. So anyway, this play, it takes place at a parent-teacher conference. And I actually saw it in a children's classroom. And it's just a mom and a teacher. And they're... something has happened and it's just, it slowly gets revealed and it's devastating and sad. And I hope this production at 59 East 59 is as good as the production that I saw. It is a play that has had productions elsewhere and just picked up accolades everywhere it's gone and was a finalist for a bunch of fancy awards, but it's very, very good. And I'm very happy that it's finally getting a New York City production.
I feel weird then bringing up the next one that's not serious, but, and it's a musical.
What?
Shocking, everybody. I'm talking about a musical. I'm so excited for the return of The Other Josh Cohen.
Yay.
Which is one of my favorite little musicals. It opened in New York off Broadway in 2012.
During the hurricane.
Right at the turn of the, right when we had the hurricane. And so sadly, like, was closed for a period of time because there was no electricity.
I had to miss my tickets because I couldn't get into the city because it was before I lived here.
But it's getting another chance at life right now in the New York City area. It's playing at the Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey. Starting in February, and this is it's just an adorable, charming, wonderful musical. It's the music and lyrics are by David Rossmer and Steve Rosen, who are both Broadway performers who've known each other since they went to performing arts camp as kids. And they were sort of inspired by the music of Neil Diamond. And it's about a guy whose apartment gets broken into and everything gets stolen. And he's just sort of at rock bottom. And then suddenly a check made out to him arrives at his apartment. And he's got to sort of figure out what's happened and whether this is meant for him. And it's a small cast, Hannah Ellis, Kate Weathered, Vadim Feichner. I don't know how to pronounce his
Vadim
name.
Vadim Feichner.
Okay.
He's married to Leslie Kritcher.
Yes, correct. He's one of the actor performers. He performs the music in it and is the music director. So it's a small cast. They play multiple roles. And it is just, I mean... a delight. I dragged non-theater people to come see it, even though
I sent my cousin, who was a freshman in college at the time. She had a great time.
Yeah, it's this sweet, wonderful little show, and I'm so glad it's getting another chance.
And you're traveling all the way to New Jersey.
I don't even know how I'm getting there. I assume it involves a boat and like sled dogs or something.
Do you
have
your tickets already? Because okay.
Because why?
Because like, oh, maybe I should go to the same performance, and we can like zip car it or something.
That's true. I can give you my information when we're not.
Not on the air.
If anybody's looking for a carpool, tweet Nicole.
Only if I like you.
So that's basically the people in this room.
She's accepting applications and send a blood test.
Right.
All right. Anything else, David?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I could play this game all night. But if we're doing serious, sad, I've got a sad one. and this is a play I actually don't know a whole lot about. I suspect Nicole does because I know it played in the UK already. But there's a play that's in previews now called Bike Man, which is a 9/11 play. And it is, Nicole just made a face like, ugh, a 9/11 play. And honestly, I have the same initial reaction, but it's based on a poem which was written by a journalist named Thomas Flynn, who on the day of 9/11 basically got on his bike and biked into the madness that was happening so that he could both report and in the end help. And I guess I'm just really interested in how do you turn both like a horrific lived event and poetry into a theatrical experience. And everything I've read about it just makes it sound really interesting. The cast includes Robert Cuccioli in the lead, who again is primarily known as a musical theater artist. But it kind of makes sense to me to cast someone who's known for musicals in a play that's based on poetry. So I don't know a whole lot more than that, but it keeps showing up in theater listings and I keep finding myself drawn to it. So I'm sure I'm going to see it and I'll report back.
Yeah, do report back. I'm only going to see it if you say it's good because it sounds depressing.
Well, depressing doesn't mean not good.
I mean, I saw Decade.
I know, but bad depressing is really bad.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I saw Decade, which was a collection of essentially short plays by a variety of different writers brought together by Rupert Gould, all about 9/11. And it was for the 10-year anniversary. And I was like, okay, this is a really difficult topic. I'm on vacation here in London. Let's go see this really difficult play. It was set, it was site specific. They staged it in a, essentially in an abandoned office space, recreated to look like Windows on the World.
That's creepy.
It was really creepy. There were a lot of things about it that were really creepy and really upsetting. And then there was a lot about it that was just bad theater. And so it, in some ways it was not as emotional as I was anticipating it being. So and I just, it, one of the hardest things for me about it was, putting a dramatic gloss on it. It turned out the one piece I liked the most, the one piece that really sort of I responded to, it turned out was a piece of verbatim theater. Huh. And I was like, yes, that's what I can take away from this, because any dramatization of it is hard for me to, I don't know. It's hard for me to process.
Yeah.
So I saw that. It just seemed like all of the accolades were like from other journalists. And I was like, I was very suspicious. But
generally, aren't journalists the ones that review theater?
No. I meant like actual, like Dan Rather says, This is an excellent piece of theater. And I was like, what the fuck does Dan Rather know? It was something like that. It might not be Dan Rather. I'm not actually trying to string him up.
Cool. Well, I don't think there are any shows on my calendar that I probably haven't already talked about, but I'm finally going to see 12th Night, which Yay. I'm very excited about. Also Facing Our Truth, which is the race and privilege plays, up at the National Black Theater. And then I'm going to see Coriolanus NT Live, which I'm excited about. And next week we're going to talk all about broadcast performances of live theater. And we'll talk about Coriolanus and Frankenstein. And we're going to have a special guest who actually does this kind of work for a living. But there are actually a couple of plays I was interested in asking you guys about, because I don't know anything about them, and I was wondering if you did. So
can talk about them like I know something, whether or not that's true.
And that's on fine, the buzzer. That's
fine. I mean, I think we're all like marginally aware of them, but I want to know why I should care that they're interesting, because I feel like they have a really buzzy. They're really buzzy, and I just don't like. That's not
so.
Really,
we need
speaking
to take
to
the
me.
Advocate role if we can do it. Okay.
The first is Transport at the Irish Rep. This new musical.
Okay, I will talk about it since my friend is in it.
Okay, good.
It's a musical. it's actually, I don't know, I think it's a really interesting story. Thomas Keneally, who's a well-known author, mm-hmm. who wrote Schindler's List?
That sounds right.
.. Yeah.
That sounds right.
It's about his grandmother, who was sent on a boat to Australia as part of these, like, young Irish people who were sort of banished from where she had come from, which I'm assuming was Ireland. And it's, the music is by, oh God, this is like going to be a test. The Black 47s, one of the guys who is in the band, the Black 47, I think.
What's the Black 47s?
I don't know. They were like an Irish like rock band.
So it's kind of like going to be rock ish.
I think it might. I don't know. I mean, is it rock? Is it rock? Is it like... I don't know.
I mean, when you say Irish rock music to me, I'm either picturing U2 or like, who's that? The Boston band.
That's who I'm thinking of, I think. Are they in Boondock Saints? I mean, we'll say it and then we'll know it.
Right.
Fuck. The Dropkick Murphys.
That's it.
Thank you. Okay.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
They're a band.
From Boston. Right. Okay.
/ Ireland.
The reason I'm assuming that they're like them,
so
with
you,
having no information whatsoever.
You're like, I don't want
to
put words
in your mouth.
I'm excited
to go see it because, one, there's a really cute ginger guy in the cast who sings that nobody told me existed.
I don't know why, but the way you said that made it so funny. You're really into redheads?
Not necessarily, but he was really cute.
Okay.
There were all these press photos, and I happened to know one of the actors in the show, and I was like, wait, who is that really hot guy standing next to my friend? And I was like, oh, it turns out he'd been in Donnybrook, which the Irish Rep also did, which I didn't see. And this is where I got joking with the Irish rep Twitter people, because I was like, why don't you put the cute guys on your posters? Then I would go see your stupid shows.
Well, this poster is really particularly bad. It's a ship. It looks like it's... It looks like a ship.
It's a boat, so why the hell would I care?
It looks like a painting from the 18th century. I mean, it looks so boring.
Well, I'm assuming if Thomas Keneally is older and his grandma, I'm assuming this is like the late 1800s. His grandmother has been like sort of banished to Australia, and it's about like immigrants making their way in a new country that is not like famously warm and inviting. So I don't know. I kind of dig the Australia story sometimes.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. That sounds good.
All right. Anything that was my best effort. David?
I only know about the show because Nicole emailed me about it a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, I'm so interested in this. I was like, have fun.
You don't plan to go?
I'm like, for the record, it's not me talking about two musicals today.
I know.
And I was enthusiastic about one of them. Right. And I'm like, let's go see the depressing show that started in The Fringe.
So this hasn't risen to your to-do list yet.
It's not on my to-do list. I will admit that there's probably a little bit of snobbery here, which is that I don't think of The Irish Rep as like my first stop for excellent musical theater. I don't feel like I need to qualify that.
No, you don't. Okay.
Although I do listen to their cast recording of Noel Coward's After the Ball occasionally. Lindsay's like, I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a musical version of the Oscar Wilde play Lady Windermere's Fan.
Oh, so now it comes out that you also didn't know what he was talking about.
I have no idea what he's talking about. I never know what he's talking about. I mean, if it's like a musical, you know.
You're like, oh,
not
Lindsay,
from my lifetime.
Lindsay's the only one that doesn't know anything about that show.
Sorry, like, I was only half listening.
Like 10 years ago, The Irish Rep did it. Tony Walton directed it. It got recorded.
Okay, the other thing I want to ask about is Love and Information at New York Theater Workshop.
So I have tickets for that.
I know you do.
Here's what I know about it. It's Carol Churchill, right?
Correct.
Here's what I know about Carol Churchill. I'm pretty sure her plays were assigned to me in college. I'm pretty sure I bought several collections of them. I'm pretty sure I've never read them. The other thing I know about Carol Churchill is that one of the Jewish community centers, I think in D.C., got into trouble because they had scheduled one of her plays that was critical of Israel, and their donors were angry about it.
Oh, this is one of... I didn't realize... I know that...
That story happens at the DCJCC like every year with a different play. So one of them was a Carol Churchill play.
Because it happened very recently.
Maybe that was hers. I don't remember. Like, honestly, it's happened 3 or 4 times. So, like, the specifics fall away. A couple episodes ago, one of you talked about, Eat Your Vegetables Theater. And, like, I'm a little nervous that this might be that. Like, I'm excited to go see a Carol Churchill play because I feel like smart people go see Carol Churchill plays and I want to be a smart person. But I'm also prepared to love it. But I don't really... I mean, I have the press release on my phone if we want to know more about
it.
But that's,
no, no.
This isn't a press release conversation.
I didn't think so.
I've been sort of... You know, I've had my eye on it for a while. And when the casting came up, it was like none of the actors like leapt out at me. And I was like, well, that's surprising. Because it's supposed to be like a... It's an ensemble who play multiple roles. And there are many, many little vignettes.
100 roles.
There you go.
This is New York Theater Workshop, right?
That's right. Yeah.
But it's not in the regular space because their Burt Bacharach concert is still playing.
Jesus. Right. It's at the Minetta Lane.
Yeah.
Mm. Wait, that's just over there, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So you have no excuse to not see it.
Now people know we're in the vicinity.
Right, we are in the heart of Off-Broadway.
Stone's throw from the Minetta Lane.
Okay, well, actually, I'm not sold on... I mean...
Oh, I looked up a little bit more about transport. I just want to make a couple corrections for the record. It's about the story of Keneally's wife's grandmother, who was exiled with some impoverished Irish women known as the Undesirables, who were sent from Ireland to Australia and were deported to at the time, the penal colony. So it was the 1840s in Australia. Sorry, just wanted to clarify for the record.
Noted. Anything else?
The Craptacular's concert, benefit concert is coming up.
Tell us about that.
Very exciting. So it's at LPR on February 10th. And it's a benefit to help a friend of theirs, nephew, who's 3, is fighting cancer and needs assistance with medical bills. And so a bunch of Broadway performers are coming together to sing and tell stories of their famous firsts. So it might be their you know, first audition for a Broadway show, their first, you know, song they sung on Broadway, whatever they sort of
but
want.
But it could also
do.
Be like their first kiss or their first, you know, whatever, their first summer camp, anything that, right. that fits into that broad category.
Exactly.
And they've got a great cast lined up. And of course, now that I say that, I'm totally going to blank on who they all are. but it's like, you know, real famous Broadway people.
I mean, Nikki James, Julia Murney, Andrew Keenan Bolger.
Why don't you give... I don't know that necessarily just stating their names.
Nikki James, who won a Tony Award for The Book of Mormon. Andrew Keenan Bolger, who is Crutchy in the original cast of Newsies, and who's on Submissions Only, which is the great web series, which is coming back for season 3 very soon,
Yay.
Which he co-created with Kate Weatherhead, who's right. in the other Josh Cohen at Paper
See?
Mill.
We're making this all make connections.
Good job. All right. To the extent we can provide a public service and offer early ticket warnings, the public... has a recent addition to their spring schedule, which is The Library, directed by Steven Soderbergh, written by Scott Burns, and featuring Chloe Grace Moretz. Is that how you say her name, Moretz?
Yeah.
And it's about a school shooting. And all I don't know anything about it.
It's ironic that Chloe Grace Moretz, who like became
Kick-Ass,
famous for
yeah.
playing, you know, the role in Kick-Ass of like a very violent preteen is in a show about school shootings.
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to be good or bad.
It's Steven Soderbergh's stage directing debut.
Famous people are involved, and I understand the tickets are going very quickly. So if this interests you...
I don't know. Stage directing debut of a film person, to me, is not a ringing endorsement, but, you know.
We're not passing judgment here. All I'm just saying is that the tickets are going quickly,
well,
and if it interests you, you should probably act fast, because I believe they go on sale to the public on February 4th.
Oh, good to know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, frankly, I kind of love Steven Soderbergh and his weird career. His just sort of like, yeah, I do things for, you know, big fancy things. And then sometimes I do weird shit and I shoot it myself and edit it myself. And I just have a lot of fun with it. And I don't know. I kind of like his spirit. So
he's got moxie.
He does. And he's, quote, retired from film. And this is his first thing he's doing in his retirement. And I don't know. I really appreciated the way in which he edited the world's worst performances in Magic Mike out of all these actors. He was like, you guys have no idea how bad I can make you look. It turns out you have no talent.
I just want to say that, like, Nicole is kind of defending Steven Soderbergh, but when Lindsay brought up this play, she made the face of all faces that was like, I have no interest in this show.
It's not what my face is about. My face is about, shit, I haven't booked any of my public theater stuff, and I don't have any weekends left, and I'm really stressed out. That was what that face was.
The problem with the public is that they put their entire season on sale to their members at a single moment. So you go from having no problems to having 5 shows to book. And I find it really, really overwhelming.
It's really stressful.
Especially if you're like for the first half of the season, Nicole and I and 2 other friends of ours tried to book all 5 shows together. And like, that was a nightmare, which is why we're not doing it this time around.
I don't think all 5 people showed up for all 5 shows.
Right.
I mean, it was, yeah. Yeah. I just don't have any weekends.
I personally wish they would do it one at a time. It would help me a lot. It would create a lot more sanity in my life.
I pretty much can see things starting maybe in May. So this is why I'm stressed out.
I mean, I kind of wish shows worked more like movies where you could just walk up. And I know that people do that, but not if you want discounts, not if you want a schedule, not if you don't want to miss things like The Library.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we want to talk about in February?
Just... The one other show that I'm kind of excited about but don't know a whole lot about is Ode to Joy, which is at the Rattlestick, which is a new play by Craig Lucas, who is a playwright I like enough to be excited that he has a new play coming. His most famous play is probably Prelude to a Kiss or Reckless, although he also wrote the books to the musicals Light in the Piazza and Marry Me a Little and the Broadway-bound King Kong. But don't judge him for that, because I'm pretty sure writing King Kong is what gave him the paycheck that enabled him to be able to write things like Ode to Joy.
Cool. Yeah, that's later this month, right?
Yes.
Because the Rattlestick also has The Correspondent.
Right, which you and I are seeing together.
We're seeing that together. How is it possible that they're doing both of those things?
I think, again, one of them is at their regular theater and the other one is
at Cherry Lane. Okay. I don't know why I just was suddenly so flummoxed by them having us two shows.
But it is weird to me that the Rattlestick, which like owns the theater and is a relatively small company, I think... is doing two shows on top of each other. I'm sure there's probably a story there, but I don't know what it is.
Cast scheduling. And
in the last couple of years, they've become much more prolific and have started doing, you know, just doubling up on the amount of stuff they're doing.
Right. And again, like, I don't know a whole lot about them, but they did Buyer and Seller last year, which was probably my favorite comedy of 2013, which is still playing. So just on the strength of that, having no idea how typical that is of what they do, like, I'm excited to get to know that company better.
Oh, I love that theater. Well, first of all, it's right near here. Not saying exactly.
I mean, again, if you're trying to triangulate our location.
It's very close by, and I've seen some excellent stuff there, including Annie Baker's The Aliens and other things like that. Just really, it's every time I go to their actual theater, though, I think, this is it. This theater's going to burn down, and I'm going to die because I feel like I'm a sardine in a can in here.
And it's all wood.
And there's the rows go into a dead end, so you can't get...
Oh, right. And this is also where the toilet is on stage.
Yes. That also. Yeah. But don't not go, because it sound inhospitable. They do great work. I'm sure it's
don't
totally
go if you're claustrophobic,
up to fire code.
Although I don't know that there's an elevator, and it is up a flight of stairs, so if that's
I'm
a concern
quite
for
sure
you.
There's not an elevator. Yeah, it's ancient. It's actually, it's kind of like... It's in like the attic of a church, and every now and again you'll be sitting there and you'll
Wait,
just hear some bells go off.
Isn't there like a hummus stand below it?
Yes, Taim is right below it.
Yeah,
but to the other side, it's actually over the church, I think.
How multicultural?
Oh, New York. Hummus and Jesus.
All right, cool. That's a wrap.
So, did you end up not seeing Bridges?
No, I did see it.
You just don't want to talk about it.
Well, I figured at some point more people are going to see it. We can talk about it then.
Right. What did you think?
I hated it.
Really?
I mean, I fully say, like, those two actors are excellent. But that story is stupid. I didn't like the music. It's very slow. Mm. I sat next to a woman from Michigan who had come to New York to go to the theater and had seen Motown, Beautiful, The Janis Joplin Show, and this.
Oh, oh God.
Thank you so much for joining us on this MaxMoo podcast. Additional information about all of the shows we talked about is at MaxMoo.com. Just click on podcasts. And we really do want to hear from you. What shows aren't on our radar that you're looking forward to this February? Let us know on Facebook at MaxMooNY. You can find all of us on Twitter. MaxMoo is at MaxMoo. Nicole is at MildlyBitter. That's MildlyBitter. David is at It's DeLevy. That's ITSDLEVY. And I'm at Lindsay Behrens. LindsayBarenz. And just a reminder that we'll have Catherine Jones from Virtual Arts TV on our episode next week. We're going to talk all about the broadcast of live performances, but really it's just an excuse to talk about Benedict Cumberbatch and Frankenstein and Tom Hiddleston and Coriolanus. We'll see you then.